Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
The Oddity News.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the third edition of The Oddity News. I am your host, Dave Wirtz, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Pat Me Down, also known as PC Tunney. How are we doing there, PC?
If you insist, come over here. Spread your legs. Put your arms up. I'm doing good. Oh,
then we'll be making the fourth edition of The Oddity really fast.
No, I'm doing good. Like we discussed pre-show, it's a little humid here in the great state of Wisconsin in the southeast area, but we're getting through.
It is a groin of a humidity right now. It is awful. Good God. Well, as always here on The Oddity, we are covering all the news and stories out there that just don't make the 6 o'clock broadcast, and try to bring some levity to your week. So we're going to start them off with a fun little story out in California. A high school biology final includes targeted questions towards students. A Luther Burbank High School freshman was surprised to read his full name included on a biology final. Not only that, but he was being ridiculed. Quote, in high school, there are individuals who are cross-eyed, like the name of the fellow student and the name of another student previously mentioned, which is a dominant trait. We call those individuals, quote, weirdos. So if you cross two weirdos that are heterozygous for being cross-eyed, what is the offspring that would result? Many students in the class were targeted by a first and last name on the exam, and teacher Alex Nguyen chose to describe these students by their ethnicities and physical features, then paired them up, posing questions about what traits a theoretical child of these two students would have. On one question, the teacher wrote a disclaimer saying, quote, in no way do I promote students being sexually active, end quote. But the students' parents and other teachers at the school said that the implication of any sexual relationship between the students is inappropriate. Tunney, what would be listed under your traits for a potential high school biology final?
You know what's funny is I remember being in biology freshman year, and you got paired up with another person, and like you wrote down what color eyes and hair you had, and like, but it was simple stuff like that, not like, hey, motherfucker's cross-eyed over here, you know, pointing out people's things that they may not want to draw attention to or be, you know, classified as, and I think the teacher just kind of doesn't get it. It's weird.
Yeah, I mean, this is just an overall a very weird thing, and especially going into more stories or more questions on in this story, like this. It is another question. For some reason, the African American culture has influenced most of the student body. How? What? Like, how does that? And in that same question, they end up referring to having a gene for a dominant trait of a pimp walk. Like, I mean, that's pretty bad. Like,
listen, some things you can make more relatable by using real life examples. This was not one of them, and especially in the way this teacher picked and chose the examples he would use.
That's also like, you are allowed to make fun of that person of, you know, for those things or whatever, when they open up the conversation. Right. And it also, let's just be honest, that's in a normal day-to-day life, not in a high school setting where now you're just only promoting stereotypes and other poking fun of these very specific traits.
Whoa.
Of different people. It's not even like ethnicity, because some of them is an ethnic thing and some of them aren't. Like, it's just bad.
It's it's bad. I don't think there's really anything else to say about it. And plus, you're throwing these things out there to teenagers who really don't know what the fuck they want, what the fuck they're doing, who they really, they're trying to find out who they are, you know, so they're very impressionable. Not a great time to be messing with stuff like that. I would be pretty angry if I was in high school and these teachers were doing this.
Well, around 10 minutes into the 2-hour exam, mind you, this is a 2-hour exam period. The students said that Principal Jim Peterson arrived in the classroom, had a private conversation with Nguyen, and then collected the finals. After the principal left, Nguyen continued with the same exam, but then put the questions on a projector and then had the class write their answers on their own sheets of paper. The next day, the last day of school, the student noticed that there was a sub for Nguyen's class and also found out that he had received a 0 on the test, which earned him a D in the class overall. Also, don't you have to get that curriculum like finalized through the school system?
This is why teachers should get paid more, so we actually have more good teachers.
This was also a well over 3.0 student, so it ended up getting the D in the class. It just tanked his GPA. It's not good, but apparently it's getting worse, and we'll have more news as the story progresses.
All right. Do you like going to the dentist, Aesop? Or Dave?
I hate it.
I keep calling you Aesop, old habit.
That's what you know me as originally.
Well, I knew you, actually, I knew you as Dave right away, too.
No, but you know what I mean.
I gotcha. I don't either, and neither did a llama in Maine, who escaped a main property to avoid a dental exam, or so we think. A llama bolted through his owner's gate in Bangor, Maine, and took a stroll through the neighborhood in an apparent attempt to avoid having his teeth cleaned. Rena Pesner, owner of the Rebels Homestead Farm in Bangor, said she opened the gate to her animal's enclosure to let a veterinarian come in to give her llama, Jeffrey, a dental cleaning. Yes, the llama's name is Jeffrey. Jeffrey bolted through the open gate and took off up the road. Jeffrey saw it as an opportunity to make a jailbreak and just ran right past me up to Stillwater, Pesner told WABI-TV. He just wanted to get out of the field and see what was up the road, but he's generally pretty good. Bangor Police Department Animal Control Officer Trish Bruin responded to a report of llama on the loose in the area. It is possible that Jeffrey hasn't kept up on brushing and flossing twice a day and was embarrassed that the whole barn would soon know, the police department said in a Facebook post. Pesner said Jeffrey returned home on his own just before Bruin arrived. She said he came home from a different direction than the one he left in. I'm not sure of his adventure path, but he came down from the other side of our house where he left from. Pesner said Jeffrey's brief escape was her farm's first since she bolstered her fences about 2 years ago. Prior to the upgrade, two of her pigs went out for a wander and ended up being brought home in a police car as bacon. No, I'm just kidding. That didn't happen. They were perfectly fine. So there you go. Even llamas dislike the dentist. The only part they do like. Do you know the only part they do like at the dentist?
Shit, I don't like where you're going with this.
When they tell them to spit.
Damn it.
Well, llamas like they spit, there. Right?
Yeah, they do. Okay. They do. I just was like, I know there's a pun in there, and I'm waiting for it. Where the hell is it? And I was going off of, like alpaca. No, that's not right. So yeah, I knew there was something in there. I knew it. I don't blame them. You know what? I don't blame them. To be honest though, I'm like an interesting case of the dentist because I get like. I have perfect pitch in terms of like my hearing for like music. So then I hear the dissonance and the clashing of the sounds with the drilling. And it ends up giving me like, it's like constant nails on chalkboard throughout the entirety of it. So that's why I get all weirded out about the dentist.
Okay.
And then every time they're like, well, we can give you something. It's like, it's not going to do anything. I could still hear
right.
The awful sounds, you jackass. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to yell at you, doctor. You know, that's a, like well, cursing
rear,
him out.
What's that?
No, I'll be honest. I cry. I cry the whole time, and they're like, are you okay? I'm fine. Just keep going. Just like.
This is the saddest song I've ever heard.
All right, well, I'll see your llama, and I'll raise you a goat. Because King Charles has bestowed a royal title on a new, or I should say, a rare golden goat breed. King Charles III did give this royal title, and from now on, the breed, known for its connection to the Isle of Guernsey, will have the special title of Royal Golden Guernsey Goat. The title bestowed Tuesday during the king's visit to the island in the English Channel will apply to the livestock breed anywhere in the world. And Rebecca Martin, the owner of an 8-year-old Somerville Tamsin, the goat chosen to represent the breed, quote, hopefully this will raise awareness for the breed. As he bestowed the honor, the king petted the small creature and offered a compliment on the shade of its pale blonde coat, which is appropriate coming from King Charles III. The goats are a rare breed and considered at risk on the rare breeds watch list. Considered friendly and docile, they produce good milk. Christopher Price, the chief executive of the Rare Breed Survival Trust, said the honor offers recognition of the breed's historical significance and its value to biodiversity, the environment, and sustainable food production. Apparently, this Tamsin, Somerville Tamsin, is a choosy eater and very picky. Their grazing does provide very specific environmental benefits and can really provide a different flavor of milk, is what they say. So I don't know how picky of an eater this goat is.
Chocolate milk?
But it's blonde. It's got to be like a vanilla.
Okay. Banana?
Or what if it's like a... What if it's like a... What,
caramel?
What the hell is it called? Oh my God, like a white Russian. I'd drink more goat milk.
It's just like your opinion, man.
The dude abides, my friend. The dude abides.
How many goat breeds can you name?
One.
Wait. Are you just going to say goat, or were you going to attempt to say but this breed?
Yeah, I was going to say the Golden Guernsey goat from England.
That's not the breed. The Billy breed goat. Is the Somerville Tamsin.
Oh, the Somerville Tamsin. I can name that one right now.
Now you're a little bit smarter in terms of goat knowledge.
Great. Not bad at all. Was the only thing I could think of would be like the pardoning that applies here in America would be the pardoning of the turkeys.
Well, this isn't like even like a pardoning though. It is.
So they're still going to eat them?
Like a bestowership. Like it's like this is giving this goat a higher level of stature in the world. And I would believe I think it's more like closer to when you list like an animal on a like the critically endangered list. Like that's more what it sounds like, because this goat breed is literally bred in this one specific area because it's the only place this goat will fucking eat anything, apparently. So I don't know if it's really worth it, if it's to be completely honest. Just, it's a goat. Goats can have those weird square pupils. Just let it die.
If you think like all the other animals will be like, oh, goat used to be down with the people. He's gotten uppity since he's been crowned, you know?
Yeah, since he moved to the good side of town.
Like he's out
the good side of the hill.
He's out in the field and he's like, no one shall watch while royalty shats. Turn your head.
Yeah, it went from like a Cockney accent to like a Manchester accent. Like, oi, it's me, the goats. And then it's like, hello, everyone. Like all posh and shit. I like that. That makes sense to me.
You've changed, man.
Do you know King Charles? I was speaking to Chuck myself.
Yeah, fucking name-dropping goat.
Sorry, I call
goat.
Him Chuck.
The name-dropping goat.
That's a better way to. That's a better name than the Somerville Tamsin.
The Somerville Tamsin, better known as the name dropping goat. All right. I got one for you. Mom to be ruins her own gender reveal party after dad's girlfriend forces it on her. A mom-to-be said she never wanted a gender reveal party, but then a family member reportedly forced it on her, leading to dramatic and still ongoing family fallout. I'm pregnant with a baby boy due in November, wrote a woman over the weekend on social media and posting that had elicited 9,000 reactions and 1,200 comments. My fiancé and I didn't care much about the sex of our child, so we didn't make too much noise about it once we found out, said the woman, sharing her story. The only people were informed were our parents, their parents, and our siblings. However, prior to this, my father's girlfriend of 3 had been asking me about our plans for a gender reveal party. I've always been clear about not wanting one, the woman added. But when I announced my son's gender to them, she expressed disappointment that I hadn't changed my mind about a party. Added the woman, I don't like gender reveals, never have, never will. I prefer baby showers, which I think feel more about the actual child. I never tried to hide that opinion either. Days later, the woman went on, my father's girlfriend invited me over for tea at their apartment. My dad was out of town. When I got there, about a dozen people popped out, hiding and surprised me. There were pink and blue decorations everywhere, which made what was going on pretty clear. The mom-to-be said she stood there in shock. Then, my father's girlfriend excitedly told me we were throwing me a surprise gender reveal party. The dad's girlfriend had apparently taken it upon herself to order a cake with colorful frosting, decorated the apartment, and invite a bunch of people over. She went on about the surprise party. The guests included her mother, whom I didn't get along with, some of her friends, not my mom, and 4 of her other friends. As I found out later, they changed their mind about the gender reveal. This is a very poorly written story, folks, and I apologize. Hours later, before they were about to make the reveal, the mom-to-be shouted out, I'm having a boy, I didn't want to be here, and stormed off. Maybe she should have gone a step further and not even invited anyone, since this party was all about what she wanted. Have you ever had any party or family function or part of your life forced upon other people or dragged into public when you didn't want it?
I've been in the entertainment business for like literally since I was four. That is 90% of my life is I'm no Kevin Bacon, you know, after last week's episode, you know, but I get a lot of those things just kind of like thrown out there and I'm just not for it. But yeah, that's unfortunate to say the least.
It sounded like that lady knew exactly what she was doing. She knew that the mom didn't want it and she just did it anyway. You know, like some people, they're just ignorant and it's their bliss and they just don't get it. Right. But it seemed like this woman knew what she was doing.
I would hope she knew what she was doing, but you know, given the atmosphere of the world, a lot of people aren't very intelligent. So
no, and we're here to show you the most of intelligent of them. So you think we should take a quick commercial break and come right back with some more stories here?
Absolutely.
All right. ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Check it out. I promise the shirt's coming, folks. It's coming and you're going to love it. You're listening to The Oddity right here on ChairShot Radio Network. Dave Wirtz and PC Tunney. We'll be right back.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
All right, welcome back. And we're going to go back to the Critics Corner, a fan favorite. First episode, we ended up looking at a one-star review for Inside Out 2, which I did see Inside Out 2 myself, and I was perfectly whelmed by the movie. It's fine. But I didn't have super high praise for the first one either. Yeah. So,
but it's also only the highest grossing Pixar animated film ever.
Entirely fair. I'm not hating it. I'm just saying it's not a critical darling like everyone made it. But this movie is certainly not anyone's favorite. Releasing, what was it, July? All these reviews are for July 12th, but releasing fairly recently is the new movie Lumina, a terrifying sci-fi thrill ride. Well, this has 14 reviews on Rotten Tomatoes and has culminated with a whopping 0%. So it's not doing well. I'm going to read a little bit of excerpt from a review by Brian Tellerico. Quote, "There are bad movies. Then there are really bad movies, and then there's Lumina, a film so breathtaking in its overall incompetence that one starts to wonder if it's not intentionally so in hope of being the next The Room or Birdemic. How else to explain some of the laughable shot choices, inconsistent characters, nonsensical plotting, and dialogue that sounds like it was either produced by AI or Google Translate of a script written in another language? One of the hardest working men in the history of his industry, Eric Roberts, pops in and out for a matter of minutes, able to elevate the flick slightly with his playful line readings before even his scene gets sucked into the tractor beam of idiocy that this film seems to willfully embrace. Roberts has notoriously made over 700 films in his notable career, and it's hard to believe many are worse than this one. Lumina opens like a relationship drama in introducing us to a couple named Alex, played by Rupert Lazarus, and Tatiana, played by Eleanor Williams. An old flame named Delilah, Andrea Tividor, is the woman who might come between them. But aliens put a pin in that plotting when they suddenly abduct Tatiana, who disappears in a flurry of truly poor CGI, leaving Alex so heartbroken that he grows a hideously fake beard and turns down his already flat performance to almost nothing. A shot wherein Alex stares into his pool and sees a vision of the missing Tatiana, like Carl Weathers in the clouds at the end of Happy Gilmore, made me yelp out loud. It's one of many choices that feels like it has to be intentionally funny. And before you know it, Alex, Delilah, Patricia, played by Sydney Nicole Rogers, and George, Ken Lawson, are venturing around the world to find Tatiana and leads them into the grips of a mysterious alien abduction expert named Tom, played by Roberts, whose day of shooting here clearly happened just to get funding for the film and ends in a chase sequence of stunning lunacy. Our quartet hits the road again, meeting Tatiana's parents about her history of alien abductions that she never mentioned to the love of her life, of course, traveling through a desert and ending up in an underground facility that might be governmental or alien or whatever. But it's impossible to care about that point. And the janky CGI in which characters and what's threatening them almost never share the same space. And it certainly doesn't help. Where does one even begin to talk Lumina? Some scenes feel like they'll never end. It's 112 minutes. Others clearly weren't completely shot, leading to jumpy edits because the film's lack of normal plot transitions. None of it makes a lick of sense, so picking out specific WTF scenes feels like a waste of time. But there's one involving a goat that I'll never forget. Again, maybe that's the point. I certainly remember The Room more than most of the bad movies made that same year or even a decade ago. And I'll remember Lumina as one reflects on a memorable nightmare about being abducted by aliens. Honestly, it probably would be more fun. Again, now it's the review.
Dumbass.
Again, that's the review by Brian Tallarico. And I'll tell you right now, in just the quick quips of the other reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, there is nothing that gives any more life to this film. It's all negative.
I watched the trailer while you were reading with no sound. And yeah, it's bad.
Honest to God, I think this played before I watched Inside Out 2 last week. I think this was like on the trailers before that, and I just kind of remember going like, "What the hell?" Because I didn't go to a Marcus, I went to an AMC, okay. And all I could think of was like, AMC's qualities is bad, and I should realize that considering the chairs I'm sitting in might be the most uncomfortable chairs of all time.
You got Marcus down on the southeast side there?
I do, but it was a Tuesday, and everything, and I was trying to buy for three people, so Inside Out was filled up at no matter what time it was.
Yeah, Tuesdays are the cheap day at Marcus Theaters where we live, so.
Yeah, this is bad. One of my other favorite quotes that I didn't, from another reviewer, from Avi Offer, asinine, undercooked, and unintentionally funny. It's one of the worst sci-fi movies since Madam Web and a prime candidate for MST3K soundtrack. So, if you're looking for garbage, guys, feel free. Check out Lumina. Lots of people comparing it to The Room and Birdemic, which are, you know, those are movies that are, well, at least Birdemic is supposed to be that bad. But, you know, those are considered some of the worst movies of all time.
Not my genre, but yeah, definitely I'm going to skip this one. All right. Speaking. All right. I got one more, and I know you got a couple more, but I'll give you. Should I give you my last one here?
Yeah. Go with it.
This might be tough to top. If you want to check this out and check out the photos of what I'm talking about, head over to livescience.com. They have the story.
Oh, no.
I found this story because Elon Musk posted it on his X account. And I was like, get the fuck, this is not real. Like, I'm like, he's fucking around, you know? Here is the headline of this story, folks. And I want you to head over to livescience.com to check out the picture, because it looks exactly as it is described. The headline reads, "Giant phallus-shaped iceberg floating in Conception Bay surprises residents of Dildo, Canada." A phallus-shaped iceberg hovered off the coast of Dildo, Newfoundland, in Conception Bay before collapsing. It doesn't get any more apt than this. A photographer from Newfoundland town of Dildo has captured images of a penis-shaped iceberg off the Canadian coast. The suggestive berg consists of a column with a domed head protruding up from two oval rafts of ice. Photographer Ken Pretty captured a shot of the ice formation by drone near the town of Harbor Grace, which sits along the puns keep adding up, Conception Bay. Perhaps unsurprisingly, the Dickieberg, as locals are calling it, has attracted international attention, with Pretty sharing news stories from as far as Thailand and Taiwan on his Facebook page. "I knew I'd get a lot of comments, but I didn't expect this much," Pretty told the news agency Saltwire on Friday. Alas, the iceberg lacked staying power. Pretty photographed the 30-foot phallic structure on Thursday. It collapsed the next day. According to the CBC, it's a strong iceberg season in Newfoundland and Labrador, with more than 200 off the coast of the two provinces. Anyone penis?
Dickie Berg sounds like a name I should be giving you in my intro.
Yeah, fucking yeah.
My co-host Dickie Berg.
I could team up with the old Brewers infielder Dickie Thon. Here come the Dickies, Berg and Thon.
Isn't the Dickies like a band?
Isn't it like a clothing? Isn't it pants and work clothes, Dickies?
Yeah, that for sure. But I think it's a band too. And I'll also tell you, because I have made this mistake many times, because of how it's written. It's actually pronounced Newfoundland. Isn't that weird?
Newfoundland?
Yes. Hmm. Newfoundland. It's actually how it's like with the cadence and all that. It's Newfoundland. Yeah, because I do that all the time. Every time I read it, I do the Newfoundland. I go, shit! And I remember, like, hearing it and just being like, what the fuck is that? But just to bring it back, that's from
Newfoundland.
Yeah, it's like the dog. Eh? The dog breed.
What's that all about? Don't you
know? Does that mean the iceberg was getting blue-balled?
They're blue. Whoop, come on. There you go. They're blue.
I got shafted from this. I hate my life.
There it is. Yep, there, you just saw it.
Is the meme? Like, this is one of those things that is meme-worthy, that people need to be crafting this into something more. Like, I'll forever bring it up, because I think it's one of the biggest travesties of the internet. What was that bowl game from the college for this past year with the Pop-Tarts?
Yeah.
Was it the Pop-Tart Bowl? Is that what it was?
Or it was the Kellogg's Bowl, I think, or Kellogg's Pop-Tart Bowl, whatever. Yeah.
Sure. But that picture of the Pop-Tart going into the toaster with the sign is like prime candidate for a meme, and no one capitalized on it. And I'm so mad. And I'll be honest, like, it's not going to beat the Pop-Tart, but the penis-shaped iceberg is definitely something that should be a meme going into, you know, the next year. should be something that just gets regular play. If we get the Haktua girl for a month, why aren't we getting Pop-Tarts and Penises, which is my favorite Green Day album of all time?
You are a son of a bitch, you know that? I had already titled this fucking episode Conception Bay in Dildo, Canada, and now I gotta change it to Pop-Tarts and Penises.
Yeah, exactly. Pop-Tarts and Penises is an amazing name, and those are two memes that should have been, okay? Should have been. All right, I'm better now.
Are you?
Yes.
Okay.
That's my rant for the week.
Why don't you give us another story?
Hotel looking to hire banter merchant to entertain guests during the Edinburgh Festival Fringe. This is from Sky News. AC Hotel by Marriott Glasgow says applicants are invited to send a 60-second video explaining that they're the right person to get guests in the mood for a day of laughter, music, and leaflet dodging on the Royal Mile. Now, do you know about the Edinburgh Festival Fringe?
I don't.
Well, obviously, Edinburgh, Scotland, the capital. It's the capital of Scotland. But it's a very big artsy festival. I work for Comedy Sports, and Comedy Sports Manchester actually does a regular show there throughout the entirety of the thing. But yes. So AC Hotel by Mary Glasgow said it's seeking for a breakfast roaster to leave its guests in stitches during the famous event. The paid gig, which would suit someone performing at the Fringe, includes free accommodation and travel expenses to and from Scotland's capital for the festival. Bosses at the hotel said the business has been experiencing a significant spike in demand during the festival amid reports that the performers and visitors are being priced out of staying in Edinburgh throughout the run. Comedian Jason Manford branded Edinburgh accommodations prices as an absolute joke earlier this year because the prices are just crazy. But that's like RNC stuff here, or San Diego Comic Con in the next weeks.
I mean, yeah. That's the worst. If governments around the world want to regulate something, regulate hotel prices, because how much do you think it's going to cost for people to stay anywhere near the state of Wisconsin when the draft comes here, or when we talk about the chair shot, we talk about wrestling, like. We almost booked a B&B months before they announced WrestleMania because we were almost positive it was going to Vegas. And we should have, because we could have fucking sublet it to somebody for fucking 20 times the amount. I'm sorry, but that shit pisses me off because I've had to deal with, like, staying at hotels for a lot of travel and stuff like that. And it's just bullshit. Like,
we get crazy. The hotel gets spiked during the fucking Air Festival.
Yep.
Which is nothing. But, at least in terms of what else is out there?
Like we started planning our trips to Vegas and like golf trips so we'd stay overnight on weeknights instead of weekends, because Friday and Saturday is like four times the amount of the other days.
Oh yeah, for sure. Don't even get me started that there's a holiday or an event going on, because I tried to do that last year, going out to La Crosse, which is a podunk town. This was during 4th of July. Big fucking mistake. Big mistake. But going on, the job ad states that the selected applicant will be the, quote, toast of the hotel, transforming ordinary mornings into a laugh-a-minute experience and setting up the perfect tone for the day ahead, end quote. Are you a laugh-a-minute lady? A witty, wise guy, a rib-tickling rebel, a banter merchant, a comedian, in other words, then your dream role may be just a scroll away, the advert says. You'll bring the thigh slappers, side splitters, zingers, one-liners, and tableside crowd work to our wonderful guests during breakfast twice a week for the duration of your run. The opportunity is open to everyone performing at the Fringe, which is running from the 2nd to 26th of August, as well as up-and-coming comics. The advert doesn't reveal how much the successful applicant would be paid in the role, only saying that it is a paid opportunity. And the rate is, quote, to be agreed with the candidate, end quote. Applicants are invited to send a 60-second video explaining why they're the right person to get guests in the mood for a day of laughter, music, and dodging on the Royal Mile. Candidates should also share their favorite breakfast-related joke. Once appointed, the comedian will start in August. So basically, they are looking for tableside roasters during breakfast, which I understand that, you know, people may think that that would be funny, but that to me would just get annoying.
Yeah, it'd be something though you're expecting to be, or you know what, like if you have like a cafeteria or a dining area, like if you sit on this side, you're liable to be made fun of. If you sit on this side, you can just enjoy the show. It's like if you go to a comedy show and you sit up front, fucking watch out. If the guy does crowd work, he's probably going to come and get you. But I would love to do this. We where I work, we have a cafeteria and a chef that makes lunch for the whole production facility every single day, right? About 150 or so people on first shift. So people are in there eating lunch from noon till about a little after 2. I'd love to sit in there and make fun of those people every day for 2 hours. That'd be great.
What's your
What's your pitch? You're gonna show up? Should I go talk to the owner? Should I bring you in? Bring in Comedy Sports to make fun of everybody at lunch?
Oh, I don't need Comedy Sports. You could just bring me in. I mean, you've already seen me at wrestling shows.
I'll
tell you right now, I'm way worse. I am way worse. I'm dead serious. All I do now is just roast people, and I'm all for it. But what's your okay? So you're throwing your 60-second pitch. What is your favorite breakfast joke?
Oh man, it would have to be something about, like chicken and waffles with a side of scrambled eggs, and we'd call it two chicks at the same time.
Oh God,
that's really good for off the cuff, man.
Look, I'll take that. I'll take it. Why did the toaster go to therapy?
Because people kept trying to fix it.
He was feeling burnt out.
Oh, you punny bitch.
Yeah, look, I got the puns are easy. but yeah, that's that's all I have to say on that, to be honest. and now I do have one more. And this kind of ventures back to your iceberg.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought it was two chicks at the same time.
Well, kinda. Okay. And you'll see why in a minute.
All right.
Rolling Stone has reported that prolific baby daddy and host of The Masked Singer, Nick Cannon, has recently insured his, quote, most valuable assets for $10 million. Quote from Cannon himself said, you hear about, like, all these different celebrities insuring their legs. So I was like, hey, well, I got to insure my most valuable body parts. Even better, the ball-to-ball policy was taken out with Dr. Squatch, a men's grooming company that invites users to find their value of their balls. The father of 12 with 5 different baby mamas said he's doubling down on my future kids. That's his quote. Nick Cannon has insured his testicles.
I mean, once you get to 10, you can stop paying. You can stop paying income tax. So why are we keep going from there?
Well, you know, talk to Antonio Cromartie.
Listen,
with Philip Rivers.
Current day, Tyreek Hill is owning this. He like just had a kid. His wife's pregnant, and he got another girl pregnant, and they're all okay with it. They're all okay.
Yeah, that's fair. but they got this. I also like where they got this interview. So it was shared with Bree Tiese. I don't know. from E.T. But this was at a celebration for his young son in a bounce house with friends and family. So that's where Cannon ended up sharing all of this. Like, that's insane.
Is it really insane?
I get
though?
It. Nick Cannon's a controversial figure. At the same time, I think instead of insuring for $10 million, you could invest in a vasectomy.
I have so many questions and so many comments, but none of them would really get us anywhere right now. Good for Nick Cannon. It seems to be his penis is constantly wet, and he'll always be changing diapers if we think he's actually changing the diapers.
Oh, no, he's definitely not. Nick Cannon was quick to say that this was not an indication that he's planning on expanding his brood anytime soon. He just is making sure nothing goes wrong. I don't know what that means.
Sounds like a publicity stunt to me.
I guess so, but $10 million is $10 million, I guess.
Cannon insured.
And that's Cannon?
Cannon and balls insured.
Oh, man. Oh, God. Well, this concludes our latest edition of The Oddity. So go out there, keep your news ridiculous, and don't let life kick you in the balls, I guess. For PC Tunney, I'm Dave Wirtz. Thank you, everyone.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.